Hello everyone, and welcome to the last of three Healthy Ninja Skills classes so you can kick life fast before you see it coming. Tonight's topic is how to act like a ninja. And thank you guys so much for being here. Just a little housekeeping before we get started. This call will last about an hour, and about half of it will be Q&A. And I ask that you really take this time for yourself and don't multitask. Really just let yourself be present for a while. And I also ask that you find yourself a relatively quiet place to be, and if that's not, that when I open up the lines that you mute yourself if you're going to have background noise, just to save everybody. I'll start, as I like to do, with a nice deep breath in and a nice breath out. And one more, breathe in, out. Giving yourself even that 5 seconds to really relax, I think, helps everybody. So my name is Stacey Spensley. I'm a healthy life coach and the founder of CenterStageWellness.com. And I support overwhelmed men and women to make sustainable diet changes so they can feel in control and kick ass at life. And some of you that are here have worked with me before, but many of you have not. And I thank you all for taking the time to join me. And this has been really fun for me to do these classes, and I hope you guys have enjoyed them too. So a little more background. The first week of classes, I told you about how I went from an unhealthy vegetarian to a healthy life. Last week, I told you how transforming my thinking has helped transform my life, and this week, I want to tell you my story from a slightly different angle, because I believe I've mentioned I'm a huge perfectionist, and for the last 3 years, I wrote a food blog with the tagline, "Then I will do it myself." I'm fiercely independent. I'm a terrible delegator. I have a joke with a lot of my friends about wearing my martyr pants. I inherited them from my mother, I swear, but all the changes I've made in my life in the last few years wouldn't have been possible if I'd been doing this all by myself. Trying to do everything on my own wasn't serving me. I was stressed, sick, and I was happy. And I experienced this a lot with my clients, and I've seen it in myself. So often we don't know how mediocre we feel until we actually feel good and have a basis for comparison. And this could be our health, our relationships, our jobs. Most people are walking around on a scale of 1 to 10 at like a 5 or a 6. And since the absence of disease does not indicate health, an absence of misery does not actually mean that you're happy. And sometimes we'll get that glimmer of 7 or an 8, and we get scared, and then we sabotage ourselves, and it goes back to the beginning. So this is an area, for me, where I'm continually learning and growing. My strengths really lie in collecting information and personalizing for other people. So today's topic, which is taking action, is actually not my forte. It's actually something that's really hard for me. And that's why I think it's really important, because stuff I've talked about before is all kind of stuff that we know. We know what we need to eat to be healthy. We know we need to exercise. We know we need to think positively. But we forget, and we just don't do it. And if action, nothing changes. And not acting is also a choice, and it's a choice to stay where you are. So when you think about where you are right now versus where you want to be, think about what your choices are saying about what you want. And I realize that changing your life is a really terrifying idea, but taking small steps is totally doable, and it adds up to big changes over time. And I really want to appreciate you for taking the first step by signing up for this class and either attending or listening to the recording, because really taking that time for yourself really shows that you want to change and you want to be better. So tonight, I will give you stealthy ninja tricks that will help you get out of your head so you can take action now, that will help you get what you want from other people so that you can have what you want for yourself, and will give you the support you need to act in alignment with what you really want. And my favorite three clarifications before we get going, same as the last two, just a good reminder. When we talk about food, I use the word food you eat, not a restrictive way of eating. Some of you have been clients, some of you have done free events with me, and some of you are new, and wherever you are, you're in the right place, and you have to know who you are. So don't compare yourself to where anybody else is. It doesn't matter. You're exactly where you need to be. And my two new favorite phrases that might come up for you are, "I know that already," and "that won't work for me." "I know that already" needs to become, "what can I learn from this?" And "that won't work for me" becomes, "can this work for me?" And again, if you can't figure those out for yourself, ask during the Q&A. That's why I have the Q&A time, because, again, today's theme is taking action and not going it alone. So tip number one is ninjas are focused. So you're a ninja. You guys are doing awesome. Now picture yourself cornered by a gang of street thugs in the middle of ninjutsu. If you're in the middle of the group and you're trying to kick all of them at once, you'd be completely ineffective and get your butt handed to you. Well, that is what we're constantly doing in our heads. We're trying to multitask, and we're thinking about the other 37 things we should be doing or would rather be doing or want to be doing or haven't done yet, and we're not accomplishing as much as we could be. So in my own experience, I used to get terrible insomnia. I have what I call a busy mind, and I would be exhausted, laying awake, trying to hold all the thoughts spinning in my head, afraid I would forget something when I went to sleep that I had to do the next day. And there's nothing worse than being exhausted and insomniac. When we're holding all of that in, we're spending all of our energy juggling these thoughts. And inevitably, we're going to drop something. So instead of juggling, we need to wait for these thoughts so we can sort through them at our own pace and prioritize them. How do you actually make sense of the noise? For bedtime, I use a little bit different strategy. For the bedtime stuff, I tend to keep a notebook on my side table, and then I can write everything down. And when I have them written down, then I won't forget them, and then I can go to sleep. If you're kind of in a hot mess, this is more of a daytime activity, you'll need a chunk of like 5 to 10 minutes and a Word document or a good old piece of paper and a writing utensil. This will be in your handouts now, but this is an excellent exercise. I revisit it fairly regularly because, again, I tend to store everything in my head, and then I stress myself out, and I go, hey, crazy girl, do this exercise, and I feel better. Sit down and write down everything you're thinking about, all of it. This is from your grocery list to worrying about the state of the national economy to your nail polish that you need to change to what you're taking for lunch tomorrow. Everything that's in, get out onto paper. Again, giant brain dump. Just keep writing until you literally cannot think of anything else. So once you have everything out in the giant brain dump, then you are going to go through it and cross things off. First pass is crossing off everything you can't directly control. Your mom is crazy, the stock market is up or down, weather is bad, doesn't matter. Cross them off. There is nothing you can do about it. So don't waste the energy worrying. Let's put that energy into what's actually important. Not that you can't worry about it or can't think about it, but it doesn't need to be taking up valuable space in your brain. The next one's a little bit harder. The next one is you go through everything that feels kind of meh. So whether that's, you know, cleaning the bathroom or balancing your checkbook or, you know, buying new socks, whatever it is, meh, cross it off. If you don't feel energized by it, don't give it energy. Will you eventually have to clean the bathroom and balance your checkbook? Probably. But technically, you could have someone else do it, or it could probably wait a day or two. There's no sense stressing out about these things, kind of hanging out. Sometimes it takes one or two swipes. Really dig in, and for everything, if it does not excite you, if it does not make you feel good, cross it off. Now, you should only have things left that you actually care about and need to do. However, it still might be pretty long, so we need to sort them. So now we're going to arrange them into groups for 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, and 6 month categories. Because sure, maybe you're thinking about your holiday plans, but you don't need to take care of it this week. There are more pressing things you can attend to. Then for the things that happen this week, you need to put them in your calendar. If it's not scheduled, it's not real. That said and done, congratulations. You are now in control of your own life again. So instead of having everything spinning around, now it is organized, you can see it, and you have rejected the things that you don't need to do. And really something to keep in mind is that when we say we don't have the time for something, it really means that we haven't made it a priority. If it's important to us, we'll find a way to make it fit. When you're going through and crossing things off, whenever you say yes to giving your time and energy that falls in that meh category, what you're really doing is saying no to something you actually care about. So it's really a prioritizing exercise. Do your brain dump, get that stuff in your calendar, and see how you feel about moving forward. This will be in your handout, so actually do this exercise tomorrow. It's really, really helpful. Tip number two, ninjas ask for what they need. Are you guilty of ever having uttered the phrase, "I'm not a mind reader"? None of us are mind readers. Well, nobody that I know. Now, keep in mind that I'm from the Midwest. We invented passive-aggressive tendencies, and there is a difference between being polite and expecting people to be psychic. So imagine that you're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner at a huge table with your family and friends. Doesn't matter if you normally have Thanksgiving with them, biggest table you can even conceive. The salt is at the other end of the table, and you would really like some salt for your food. Do you glance at the salt coyly? You casually mention to your sister sitting next to you that the potatoes could use some salt. You glare at your uncle who used the salt last and is holding it hostage by not looking at it right now, and none of these assholes are passing you the salt. Of course, the very obvious solution is to say, "Hey, would someone please pass me the salt?" And they would probably do so. But no one can give you what you need if you don't ask. This is kind of a silly example because, you know, who's scared to ask for salt? But we're constantly expecting what we want simply because we know what we want. And it's great that you know what you want, but nobody else does. And if you've ever heard a friend talk about their partner and say, "Oh, I just wish he'd help out more around the house or listen or pick up his socks or whatever it is," you've witnessed this. And I'm sure we can all think of a time we've done this ourselves. I actually laughed a little bit because this came up for me yesterday. I work at home, which is awesome in many ways, but the flip side of that is that I am always at work. So my husband just started a new job last week, and the transition periods of new jobs are always the toughest. But I've been working actually since 6 a.m. Then I made dinner when he got home from work. And after dinner, we spent a little time together, but then I went back into my office because I had some more things. I went to refill my water glass, and I saw the dinner dishes scattered around the kitchen, and I was super, like, "Oh, God." So I washed them, and I'm kind of stomping a little bit. It might have been slightly pouty. My husband came in and said, "Honey, well, of course you could." And if I had simply walked in and said, "Hey, honey, I'm still working. Can you do the dishes?" He would have said, "Yes," and he would have done them. So who's wrong in that situation, him for not doing the dishes in the first place or me not asking him to when it would have really helped me out? Instead of thinking, "If they really knew me, they would know what I want," think about what you really need to be happy and fulfilled. And sometimes it's something as simple as, "Honey, when I get home from work, I really need 10 minutes of quiet time alone to decompress. It's not that I don't love you. I just need some mental white space so I can really appreciate the time we spend together later." You know, it might be obvious to us that, you know, perhaps like my husband works at a hotel. He spends all day yapping at people and being yapped at. I spend all day at home by myself on the computer. I'm a lot chattier after work because I haven't had human interaction. He just wants me to shut the hell up. So what's obvious to us is not always obvious to other people. And by telling them, it's helpful to both of us because we both know what's going to make them happy. Think of an area where you're not getting what you need. Red flags for this are areas where you feel frustration, anger, blame, and resentment. Something I really love is called The Work by Byron Katie. I'll send you guys this link. And it's an amazing exercise called Judge Your Neighbor. And it goes like this. Think of a situation, time, location, or person who angers, confuses, or disappoints you, and why. So, for example, I am upset with my husband because he didn't do the dishes. In this situation, how do you want them to change? What do you want them to do? I want my husband to do the damn dishes. In this situation, what advice would you offer to them? He should do the dishes without me asking. In order for you to be happy in this situation, what do you need them to think, say, feel, or do? I need him to know that I want the dishes done. So what do you think of them in this situation? I think that my husband is being selfish and lazy when he does not do the dishes. What is it in or about the situation that you don't want to experience again? And I don't ever want to feel like he's making me do all the work. Then you go through and ask, can you know that it's true? How do you react when you believe that thought? I'm running through these quickly, but these are really powerful questions. And yourself being upset about how somebody else is acting, that you can really turn it around and think about how you're reacting to that situation. Because you can't control how other people act, but you can control your reaction to what they do. Now, tip number 3 is ninjas don't go it alone. I actually did look this up, and ninjas did not always work by themselves. For example, sometimes they would need to get a boost over a high wall and other things. But this point is actually really important. So let's go back to the situation about being cornered by a gang of thugs. You are vastly outnumbered. Another friendly ninja comes along and says, hey, you're outnumbered. Would you like some help? What are your choices? Do you shrug cavalierly and say, nah, I got this, even though it's not true? Or do you accept assistance? Are you terrified that accepting help means you're not capable of handling it yourself? Or does accepting help mean that you're smart and you don't want to get your butt kicked by thugs? So many of us often blow people off when they offer us help. We assume that we can do it ourselves, or we assume that accepting help shows that we're weak. I have had a phrase written on a post-it note on my desk for the last few months in front of me right now that says, just because I can doesn't mean I should. And I have to constantly remind myself of this on many levels. And this is just because I'm capable of doing something doesn't mean I have to do it. And just because I can do it by myself doesn't mean I have to do it by myself. So along with asking for what you need, asking for help is something that can make a really huge impact on your life. And there is no shame in delegating. Think of it like the meh items on your list. Why dedicate your time and energy to things that you don't like? Marcus Buckingham wrote some interesting books, and he writes that your strengths are activities that make you feel strong, and your weaknesses are things that drain you. And it doesn't matter if you're good at them, it matters how you feel when you do them. So if something doesn't nourish you, don't do it. For me, this came up a few months ago. I was just spinning my wheels. I had been really busy in the first few months of the year, and I was working on it, but I felt like I wasn't making any progress. I have a mastermind group for my business. I have a really supportive husband. I have really wonderful friends, but I just didn't like how I felt. For me, the first step was reaching out, and I actually hired myself a coach. Clearly, I am a coach, but I can't coach myself. And I wasn't making the changes that I needed to make on my own, and I really needed that outside perspective. And she really, really helped me make some huge breakthroughs, and then I clearly stole all of her best stuff for my clients, which was excellent. But, you know, sometimes you just can't see the forest for the trees in your own life, and asking for help is the only thing that is going to move you forward. And this doesn't have to be hiring a coach, although clearly I recommend it. I think it's an amazing experience. But for you, it could be as simple as asking a buddy to go to a Zumba class with you. Or, and so I know we talked the first week about kind of feeling sabotaged by your friends and family, by asking your husband to try eating a meatless meal once a week to help you stay on track with your own eating goals. Or really something that I would love to suggest is a group coaching program. And this isn't for all of you, and that's totally fine, because there's probably three types of people that are listening. And the first type is like, hey, free resource, ninjas, awesome, sign me up. And you've got this information, and you're like, this is exactly what I needed. I needed a couple of things to tweak, and I am totally on my way. Perfect. No strings attached. So glad you're here. The second type is the person who got the information, moved with it, and was like, I love this, but I want more. And the third type is like, okay, you gave me the information, and I just am still overwhelmed. I'm frozen, and I do not know what to do. And the last two groups are who this program is for. So what I have set up, if you are enjoying the content of these calls, is a 12-week coaching program called the Super Awesome Session, because your summer should be super awesome. It's a 12-week program so that, you know, this has just been 3 weeks, and I think you guys have, I've gotten some really great feedback of people making these small changes step by step and saying, you know, well, okay, I drank the water for the first week and I kind of forgot and then I started again, but then I'm working on this and it's really helping. So I do a 3-month program. You get the support over a longer period of time to really help reinforce all of the changes. We start with a kickoff call to get everybody set up. Six group coaching calls. We do them every 2 weeks, and a wrap-up call at the end. Every person that signs up for the program gets 2 one-on-one coaching sessions. And I've taken group programs before, and I don't feel like I don't like feeling like I'm just a cog in the machine. And as a coach, I really like coaching one-on-one better. But group programs let me help more people at a more affordable rate, which is why I really like to do them. And there's something really amazing about the benefits of a community in these programs. So everybody gets 2 individual sessions, that really focus exactly on you. And I think especially those of you that listened to the first call, you know, everybody's experience has something universal in it that you can all resonate with, but it's so much more helpful to make direct changes when we really address exactly what's holding you back. For the duration of the program, we do weekly email assignments to keep you on track. They're not huge. They're just little things, like kind of like I've been giving you with these classes. You know, one thing to work on, just to think about, keep you aware and accountable. And then one of the things that my last group loves the most is I do a private Facebook group. And what that gets you is accountability and support. So if you're having a bad day, you can pop on and say, I'm having a bad day, and other people can help you sort that through. Or, you know, just ask advice, like, hey, I want to try a yoga class. Does anybody know anything about this? Or just to get support, just to get feedback. And I really love it for having people brag about what they've been doing. So often as women, we're taught, you know, not to brag. And I think it's so important to celebrate our successes and have people witness that is really powerful. And then what I'm also excited about, I don't know everything, clearly. So I really bring on some great people to do bonus content. And this program is specifically going to focus on time management and organization and creativity for my bonus content. I've had a lot of people say that what they think is holding them back from living a healthier life is fitting it in and feeling overwhelmed and not being able to manage their time, that making these changes takes too much time. So we're really going to focus on time management and all of those skills to really give you the strategies to take the information you already have and actually apply it and move forward. I'll send the link along with the recording and the handout, but I would love to have you guys join me and have a super awesome summer. I have a couple people already signed up from the pre-sale. If you are interested, I would love to have you. And the first three people who sign up also get a bonus 20-minute coaching session with me. They're really, really fun. Because 20 minutes is not super long, but it gives us just enough time to really crack one thing that's keeping you stuck. You also get a book. I haven't decided which one because I decided to pick a different one for everybody depending on what they need. I'll send you a book to help you on your journey. And then you also get a bonus 3-pack of audio interviews about body image and emotional eating, about and about self-care and ritual. That's for the first three people who sign up. Also on the site, if you're not sure, I am happy to talk with you about it. I want to use this Q&A. Not if you have questions about the program, I'm happy to answer them, but I'd really like to use it also just for coaching. But if you're not sure if it's a good fit for you, then I do offer free 15-minute spotlight sessions so we can talk about it, see if it's a good fit, and see if it's something that would fit for you. That is another way to ask for support, and I would really love to have those of you who need a little bit more support this summer. To recap, today's tips are that ninjas are focused, ninjas ask for what they need, and ninjas don't go it alone. So I'd love to hear if you guys have a takeaway, something you think you're actually going to use. Miss Diane, I know you've heard some of this before, but what stuck out for you?
Well, how did you know I was always multitasking during the calls?
I lied. I am psychic.
Yeah. This is the first one I have not multitasked during, and instead I took notes. So.
Ooh, I'm so proud of
that. That was much. I was always super proud of myself that I could just listen to stuff and entertain it all, and that is not true.
Anything that you're excited to try or that you found particularly spoke to you?
Let me look at my notes. Saying we don't have time, priorities thing. I've already been trying that a little bit, so it was good to hear that said again. Yeah, I mean, a lot is, like you said, a lot of it's stuff we did in the first program, but it's good to just see it again and be like, oh, yeah, I have been trying that. That did work. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So
good. Well, I am excited to have you this summer to keep working.
Thank you.
Miss Amy, anything from you?
Sorry, my phone was muted. I probably will do the list. I think that's a good thing. Can I ask a question, though?
Of course.
So you talked about, like, the stuff that you don't feel energized about and
mm-hmm. –
like when you talk about, you know, doing the dishes and the laundry and things like that, and when you live alone and you don't get to delegate it to anyone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, how do you get yourself there? Because I'm never going to feel energized about that, but I still have to get it done. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that I feel really strongly about is that we do always have a choice. And so, I mean, technically, you could hire a cleaning lady. I'm not saying that, like, right now it's a good financial decision, but and that might not be how you want to prioritize your money, but you technically could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to, then the trick is finding a way to make it, if not fun, at least tolerable or enjoyable. So, like, let's say you do have to do, like, you're like, I hate doing the dishes. So what about using that time to listen to music that you really like? Or, like, I don't commute anymore, and the only thing I miss about my commute is listening to the radio. And so I like to listen to podcasts. And so instead of thinking, oh, my God, I have to do the dishes, this sucks, I'm like, oh, I get to listen to my podcast, and that's my reward for doing this thing that I don't enjoy as much as other things.
Right.
Does that help at all?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, is sometimes just we have to think about things like, I don't necessarily, I'm my clutter tolerance is higher than my husband's. But there is
uh-huh.
nothing I like more than a freshly vacuumed carpet. So the desire to have a freshly vacuumed carpet overrides my desire to not pick up my crap. Kind of finding the silver lining of like, well, I don't really like to clean. I do really like clean carpet. Anybody else? Ms. Kim?
I think what I am going to do is try to ask for help more.
Mm.
It's really something that I don't do that well. Communication would be nice to learn. I think that would be fun.
So where do you think you could ask for help more that would make your life easier?
I think I could ask for help more on a variety of things, just everyday things that I find myself getting annoyed with or are frustrated with. I could, you know, ask someone to help me out with, whether it's at home or at work. And, you know, not just the big things, but even those everyday little mundane things that, you know, I was earlier today helping my husband do something on the computer in the office, and he had the light turned off, and I was not typing what I wanted to type in the computer because I couldn't see what I was doing, and I just got frustrated, and he was like, well, turn the light on. And I could have asked him to do that, you know, for me while I was, you know, if you can't see, turn the light on. You know, so it's just, you know, it's, hey, but, yeah, little things like that.
Mm-hmm, that's good. It's funny because when I was working with my coach, I didn't realize how frustrated I had gotten. And my husband got laid off in January and was unemployed for the last few months. And, again, I work at home. But, like, just because I'm at home doesn't mean I'm available to, like, do the dishes or vacuum because I actually am working. And I didn't realize quite how frustrated I was when he was home all the time. And, you know, I tend to kind of run the household, for lack of a better term, in certain ways. And I was talking to my coach, and she's like, so tell him to get off his ass and do that stuff. And I was like, well, that's kind of terrible. And she was like, you're frustrated. Like, something has to change. And I was like, okay. So, you know, we sat down, and I was like, okay, I'm feeling really kind of overwhelmed trying to deal with all this and work and do all this stuff. And he was like, well, what can I do? And I was like, I don't want to have to delegate this to you. Like, that's too much work for me to try to find tasks for you. What I need is for you to tell me where you can take more responsibility of doing these things. And, like, that's what I had to figure out. That's what I needed. And then when I told him that, he's like, oh, well, we were just doing a big landscaping project. He's like, well, I can take over the landscapers. You're not, you know, getting all those emails when you're trying to work on all these phone calls. And, you know, I can, you know, kind of take over the groceries. You know, I just don't want to do it wrong, all that stuff. And, like, we just had this conversation, and suddenly it was, like, this huge weight. It was it's such an oh, duh. It's, like, so asking to help you.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's, like, those small things that you're, like, oh, that is what I needed. Good.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I just snapped.
Yeah. But that's the thing, you know, I didn't realize I was building up all this resistance and, like, resentment, because basically at that point it was like, you know, I wanted him to do something, but I didn't know what I wanted him to do, and so it was coming up as, like, why is that asshole just sitting on the couch all day watching Star Trek Voyager reruns on Netflix, you know? So that was really helpful. So good. Don't make me pick on Diane, because I know she's got stuff going on.
Well, I didn't want to hold a call because I'm starting next week with the group session.
It's true. But that's
I
okay.
I did Stacey's last group session, and they're amazing. You got to not be like me, and you have to put the time into it. So this time I'm ready.
Well, you needed the intro the first time, and that's why we're doing the second round.
Yeah.
And I'm still working with my coach, man. I have a session with her next week. She's awesome.
I have issues with emotional eating. I grew up in a family where if someone was sad, you brought them favorite food, or if somebody was happy, you brought food, or if you didn't know what else to do, you made someone food.
So I know in the last couple of months you've been working on finding kind of non-food ways to reward yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
We're going on more walks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think the Wedge, my grocery store that's about 20 minutes away. Trying to not let work take over. Trying to not let work take over, because that's when I tend to make really bad food choices, is when I think I'm going to have a bad day at work, or I did have a bad day at work. Donuts are necessary.
So when are you thinking that you're going to have a bad day at work?
When or why?
Yes.
Okay. In the morning, as I'm driving to work, I'll be like, man, today's going to be tough. Definitely need donuts. Why is because I have a high emotion, high stress job that involves sitting at a computer. So it seems like I need to fortify myself. I feel gross afterwards.
Then what?
Afterwards, I feel gross.
So does this actually help fortify you against the day?
Well, I'm trying to use that, too, as kind of like an aversion thing. Like, no, remember last time we did that? Remember how gross we felt? Let's not do that. Have toast instead or something else instead.
So if you're looking to kind of fortify yourself, what do you think would actually help fortify you, or what do you think would remove the need for fortification?
Well, I'm trying to structure my work. It's weird how that the time stuff and the food stuff ties in together. It's weird. I'm trying to start each work day off. I decide the day before what I'm going to start it with.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't always happen, but instead of just opening emails, part of my job involves translation. So I'll be like, okay, that giant translation project, I'm going to spend half an hour on that right at the beginning of the day. And that way I've gotten in some time on it. And I can get my coworkers not being there yet. I have control of my day and not just be at the whim of my inbox. Thinking about that, like, okay, yep, we know what we're going to do. We're going to be working on that particular contract or that particular project. You know, I planned this yesterday. I am in control of my day,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not. An emergency comes in, I have to drop everything and handle it. But at least 8 to 9, I can usually do what I want.
But can you actually control if an emergency is going to happen or not?
No.
So you're in control of your day in that you have the power to drop what you're doing to attend to the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
A great saying is how you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you connected the time management to the food, because I find another money. One is money and food. I mean, if you think about, like, emotional eating or, like, retail therapy as very similar activities, what do you think is the next step to feeling more in control of your day?
Well, I think I have to keep doing it like I've been trying for the last little bit and see how it does make, you know, can I get some positive reinforcement for how it is going better. I tried something today. I have, like, 30 tasks all going on at once, and it's very hard to prioritize them just because you don't get a whole lot of guidance from management. Like, okay, what I used to do for studying, it's like, okay, from 12 to 12:30, we're working on this case. 12:30 to 12:45, we're doing this thing, you know, just kind of like stepping out my day, being like, okay, we are going to work on this, and then when the time's up, we're going to stop.
So what talked about this with another client actually is, I don't, this might not work for you, but also could you email your boss and be like, hey, these are the three things I'm working on. Is that what you want? Is that what you think I should be working on right now? To kind of give them veto power.
Well, I do that sometimes. Often the response I get is that they can't tell me what's my priority unless I can show them everything I'm working on. But I'm also, I started a really bad habit the last 6 months. Really tough. I was on a business trip for 2 weeks, and then I've been catching up, and I had a major crisis with a client that I've been dealing with. So I'm just now, like, coming back to doing regular work. I started a really bad habit. Things are really busy, keeping two to-do lists. One's my electronic to-do list on a calendar, and the other to-do list. You can't have two to-do lists and decide anything.
You can't. You just can't get everything done.
Well, you can't get anything done, everything done anyway, but you can't even decide what to do. If you're like, oh, well, this one's kind of, oh, shit, there's another one. So today I took a minute and just transferred everything from my paper to-do list to my calendar one. So if my boss did say, show me everything you're doing, I could show her the 35 things I'm doing. Which I couldn't have done before. I would have been like, here's this scribble piece of paper and my calendar.
I'm stuck with a relationship at work with a boss that to make it very clear of who her favorites are and who they aren't. And sometimes I can technically fly under the radar and do my job well. And you know, I'm not a person who likes very much praise, but sometimes it just makes me feel really uncomfortable with the things that she's doing with other people, and other times it makes me feel left out, and she's not the type of person that I can go talk to very easily. So it's so I'm struggling with trying to change my thoughts about these things. So that's what I'm struggling with, and I'm looking at myself and saying, why is this really bothering me? And I'm thinking, well, maybe it has to do with my own self-esteem. So I've got to, while I'm trying to change my thoughts about these, also build my own self-esteem up as well.
I talked with my friend Tara, talked about this, and she talks about triggers. And so clearly that this this person is triggering something with you.
Yeah.
So, and I think you're totally on the right track of, like, trying to figure out what that trigger is and where it comes from. So I would say, like, you know, you say, like, you feel kind of left out. So, like, think about when you're in that situation, because all of our responses are physical. So, I mean, like, think about, like how do you know you're going to sneeze, or how do you know you're going to cry, or what does it feel like to laugh? So in that way, like, think about when you feel that sense of being left out or uncomfortable, and think about feeling is actually located in your body.
Okay.
Where is it?
I guess
it's hard because you want to think about it, and you just have to let it. Like, you actually just have to feel it.
Yeah,
it's harder than it sounds.
It is hard. Initially, I want to say my heart, but I don't know if that's really quite true. I don't know.
Well, is it like a pressure? Is it like a pain? Is it like a tingling, like a sensation? Does it have a color or a shape? Some people just visualize things differently.
Yeah, no, I'm not a visualizing person, so it would be more... It's like a piercing.
Mm. So think about, so kind of, like, shut your eyes and kind of let yourself feel that feeling, because part of it, I have this problem, too. Like, my coach does this to me, and I'm like, damn it! Because I want to think things through, and sometimes, like, we just have to shut our brains off and let ourselves figure out what's actually going on, because when we try to figure it out, it doesn't make sense. And then we judge ourselves. So, and again, I totally know where this was coming from. So think about that sensation. And can you think of a time you felt that way before?
Yeah, I can.
Can you think of the first time you felt that way?
Yeah, I can. It was when I was really little. And my mother had an operation and was in the hospital for at least 2.5 weeks, maybe even 3. And I remember it was at a time when you weren't allowed to bring children to the hospital to visit. And I was small. I was like 3, so I was not allowed to go to mother. And the only contact I had with her was on a phone call. And I asked her during one of the phone calls if she had died, and I was talking to her in heaven.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I think that's where...
I'd say that's the trigger.
Yep.
And it's so funny because when you said, you know, it's about kind of that communication block, like that totally makes sense because, you know, you couldn't contact your mother and you couldn't communicate with her in a way that made sense to you. Because as a little kid, you know, you don't know. Like, if you can't see her, she's not there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I want you to close your eyes again. I know it's hokey-dippy, but it works better that way. And think about, like, what would it take for that feeling to go away? So kind of feel the feeling, feel the kind of piercing, and then feel it kind of dissipate. And think about what would need to happen for that to happen.
For it to go away, the feeling for it to go away, I just kind of took a deep breath and closed my eyes and settled into myself. It was almost like a deep breathing exercise sort of thing that helps that feeling to go away. But
so maybe feeling grounded?
Yes.
Or feeling centered? So maybe, I'm pulling some stuff out here. But kind of like when you say like you kind of felt left out or excluded, that and maybe the self-esteem thing is that feeling kind of stronger in your present in yourself and feeling more grounded as yourself is what you really need to make that feeling go away.
Yeah, I think yes.
And
yeah.
And maybe the answer really is like when you feel that way, like really just do take a real breath and realize that you don't need that external validation.
True.
Because and even just writing I am enough on a post-it note, sticking it somewhere where you can see it at work.
Okay.
I know it sounds super cheesy. I'm telling you, I'm looking at my own post-it note right now. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Comes up a lot. Right in front of myself.
Yeah, I think that's a great view. Very, very much.
You did good. That's awesome. Well, we are at our hour, so I want to respect your guys' time, but I do really want to thank you guys for being on the call and for sharing, especially Diane and Kim. And Diane, I'm excited to chat with you soon. I hope you guys have enjoyed the Ninja Calls. And as always, please connect. I'm always on Twitter at Stacey Spensley. You can connect on Facebook, facebook.com/CenterStageWellness, or my site, CenterStageWellness.com. So if anybody, again, is interested, I'd love to have you in the group with Miss Diane, who's a rock star and ready to go, and a couple other people. Diane, you know, it's not a magic fix. Not that you need to be fixed because you are not broken, but you're on the path, and I'm very proud of you. So thank you, ladies, and have an excellent